Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central. Time for Jaguars This Week, presented as always by our friends at Aetna, and open to you at 355-6351, 355-NFL1 for an hour of a lively football conversation. We may even get Joe Fortunato to turn the microphone on. Maybe. And probably not. Vic Ketchman is here. Hey, Vic, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Good. Finally to April. This is your month.
Yeah. Draft month.
Yeah.
This is Vic's day.
April Fool's?
Yeah.
Why is it my day?
I don't know. It just seems fitting.
You got something planned, Loggy?
One on April Fool's Day? Yeah. For Vic?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what's up my sleeve.
Right. Draft is 3 weeks from Saturday. Jaguars and a lot of other folks represented today at Pro Day at USC. Times are fast. That is Tony Pauline. I've got his website up right now, and he is reporting that they were fast.
Well, they got, what, four first-round picks at USC?
Sanchez, Maluga, Matthews, Cushing. Mm-hmm. Right?
But from what I understand, they weren't there necessarily look at Sanchez because, from what I hear, the trade is done for Cutler.
There you go. Leave that one wherever you want to leave it. We'll just leave it.
It is April Fool's
right
Day.
There, for sure.
Got to have a little fun.
But USC has a couple of guys, and they ran fast. Stafford yesterday reportedly had an absolute humdinger of a workout up in Athens, Georgia, right? So these two quarterbacks have worked out well.
Yeah, guys like Sanchez and Stafford with the big arms, and Freeman too, although Freeman has an accuracy issue. He'll throw it around, and the ball will sail. He'll hit things he wasn't aiming at. But Stafford and Sanchez, no. I mean, guys like that, they're always going to light up a workout because there's no rush, and all they got to do is stand there and throw the ball, and that's the thing that they do best. The issue with Sanchez is he's only played, 16 games?
Right.
So he's raw can be. And the issue with Stafford is that he's underachieved. He's undershot. He's never really won anything. I think he reminds me of Marino. There was a lot of disappointment with Marino because they were preseason number one that year in 1982, just as Georgia was, and they undershot. And Marino didn't have the year he was supposed to have, just as Stafford hasn't had the year he's supposed to have. And Marino, he when he took his Wunderlich, he quit halfway through. He had that kind of inner city arrogance, you know. I mean, I ain't doing this. And he quit halfway through. Everyone now says, "Well, Marino had a 16. Yeah, for half the test.
That's pretty good for half the test.
But you bet you it is. But they don't. That's what they don't know is that he said, screw this, and he walked out, which he had that kind of personality. Stafford kind of did the same thing as interview with Singletary. They asked him about his parents being divorced. He said, none of your business.
Good answer.
Yeah, darn right it's a good answer. It is none of their business. There's got to be a line in that stuff. You want me? You want to find out if I can play? Draft me. If not, I'll play against you.
Unresolved issues with your parents.
Okay, so we already know that Kansas City, one of the teams ahead of the Jaguars, has picked up Matt Cassel, all right? So they're out of the market for a quarterback. Stafford appears like he could go in the top two or three picks. Sanchez, if he continues to climb, could be there. And now you've got a potential trade, it looks like it's going to happen in Denver with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
You know, where he falls, probably, to the Redskins, the Broncos,
Jets.
All right, so I guess the question I'm getting to is, how does that affect the Jaguars' ability to trade back out of spot?
Here's how. There have been a couple reports that the Jaguars expressed interest in trading for Jay Cutler.
I don't believe that for a minute.
No. Here's what they expressed, in my opinion, because no one in this building is going to talk on this. In my opinion, they expressed a phone call to the Broncos to let them know that, we do have the eighth pick. And if you trade him, you will need a quarterback. And we'd probably be agreeable to trading you that pick to draft, say, Mark Sanchez, if you wanted to do that. And if you wanted to work us into a three-team deal to make this happen, we'd be agreeable to that, too. You'd have to be crazy if you want to trade down in this draft and you have a pick, it appears, where a quarterback is going to fit, you'd be nuts not to call Denver and let them know that that you have some interest in trading that pick to them so that they can draft a quarterback.
That may be the best fit for Sanchez in Denver.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Just curious.
I mean, you know, Mexican heritage.
Okay? Oh, I see what I mean, you mean. Sure.
You know, the Western states, I mean, you have a higher, you know, Latino, Hispanic population. I think he would be big in Denver. I think it'd be a great fit.
Well, he's going to a guy in Josh McDaniels, who we know is a pretty darn good coach. So
well, I don't know about that. He's
let me ask you. Well, there's a couple of parties involved. I'm talking about what he did with Castle last year.
I had a scout tell me they ought to fire him. I mean, he is just screwed up. He is just
Jay Cutler, big time.
Peed away a franchise quarterback.
There is no doubt, and you and I have talked about this. We've talked about this. Because when we went to Denver for, what, the last 2 years, there is no other quarterback in the league that makes the throws that Jay Cutler can make.
He can make all the throws.
He has the best arm in the National Football League, bar none.
Really good arm. Had a bad game against the Jaguars.
Right.
All right. But he has talent.
Let me amend my sentence then, and that is that Josh McDaniels did a tremendous job with Matt Castle last year, and they went 11-5. And so you would think that Sanchez might thrive under a quarterback coach like Josh McDaniel. I don't know who pulled the trigger or who screwed it up in Denver.
I don't know.
Well, Cutler's got some culpability in this thing, too, now. Well, His feelings got hurt awful easy.
You've got a young head coach.
That's the problem with a 32-year-old.
I'm sure there's a level of immaturity there. And Jay Cutler has never had the knack of being a very mature person slash quarterback either.
You know, Remember when he said his arm was stronger than John Elway's?
A mature person doesn't make those kind of statements.
This is pouty.
It's on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
On both sides. And then McDaniel's the little kind of
who doesn't have enough experience smile, and no general manager.
He's 32 years old.
Sarcastic thing that he had when they displayed the New Jersey things with, you know, the NFL Network or whatever it was. I mean, you know, that wasn't necessary.
No.
You're right. If I'm Gene Smith, there's no way I'm not going to call Denver and say, gee, what a shame, you're not going to have a quarterback. But I've got a pick that you might use for a quarterback, and I'd sure like to trade it to
you. There was another quarterback that I remember very well that had a similar level of immaturity and had an arm very similar to Jay Cutler.
Can I guess his initials?
Okay.
J-E.
J-E. John Elway?
Yeah.
No. I mean,
you're thinking of Brett
Favre? He did the same thing with the baseball.
No, he did, and he matured, you know. And when John Elway was young, he had a little immaturity with it because I know dealing with Dan Reeves, they had that whole thing going on. But I'm talking, you know, late 80s, early 90s, one of the best arms to ever come in the NFL, but a very immature person.
Jeff George.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and is Jay Cutler.
First overall pick.
Is Jay Cutler the next Jeff George?
No. Jay Cutler has already made the Pro Bowl. Jay Cutler is also, I mean, he's already in the
Yeah,
what,
but
he,
you know what,
three?
Vic, you know, you and I season. Both know, making the Pro Bowl, what does it mean nowadays?
Well, he could screw it up.
I mean, if you take the top, what did the Pro Bowl take? Top four quarterbacks?
Three.
It's the only, if top three?
Yeah. Top three in each conference.
It's the only position that takes three.
Yeah.
Okay, look at the AFC and tell me who the best quarterbacks are. Do you think Jay Cutler belongs in the top three?
No. But you would agree that he has prototype talent.
No question, okay. But so did Jeff George.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Jeff and Vic are with you. I'm headed down to the studio to do CBS 47. Jaguars this week rolls along here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, you got the numbers from Charlie. That's the guy that just talked. That's Voice of God. He gave you the number 355-6351 or the 1-800 number with the same 7-digit number to get in.
The weather guy gave this a 3.
And the weather guy. You wanted to talk about that.
What is a 2? He's telling you on one hand, there'll be flooding. Flooding here, flooding there. Rain all day, rain all night, rain all day tomorrow. Let's give it a 3. Well, what's a 2? Armageddon? I mean,
tornado, you know, warnings, maybe.
Joe, what do they pay for? What do they pay for
one,
that service? I'll
one
may
be a hurricane.
We have a couple ducks outside the stadium, and I'm sure they're very happy with the three.
Yeah, they love the three.
Where do you get those people? And how much you pay them?
They are experienced meteorologists.
Where did Katrina get it too?
Well, they don't have. You got to remember one thing. They don't have the ability to look out the window and go, "Oh, that's a seven all day,
Jeff." Last night in bed, you know. I mean, I don't.
Oh, it was rumbling
okay.
Now.
I had two dogs. I mean, wrapped around me, and their hair was standing straight up.
They don't like the thunder.
Oh, it was my house was rocking.
Did you lose power?
Didn't lose
power.
That's
a good thing.
But boom.
I was kind of worried because when the thunder starts, I'm paranoid about losing power.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because we lose it, as it seems.
It sounded like
if Vic went down the street and broke wind, we'd lose power.
Yeah.
And that's not saying you've got powerful wind.
No, I've lived in places like that. Every time a car, you know, wrecked, it hit the same doggone pole, you know.
Yeah.
It sounded like the roof was going to wash off.
All right, so where do you think that Jay Cutler is going to end up?
Detroit or the Jets? The Jets are desperate.
What's it going to take to get them?
Well, the problem for Detroit is, see, they have the first pick of the draft, and nobody wants it.
Yeah, who wants that?
Nobody wants it.
Who? You know what? Do you start downgrading the value of a top three pick now because of the amount of money that you've got to pay?
But if the Broncos like Stafford, and I do, then they might want that first pick. Because I think if there's one guy in the draft who could be worth the first pick of the draft, it's probably him. It's going to have to be a quarterback. I don't see a tackle either on offense or defense.
There's no John Ogden or Tony Boselli.
There's no John Ogden. There's no Joe Green. There's no Reggie White. There's no dominant. There's no Lawrence Taylor. There does not appear to be a dominant player. Stafford, because of his abilities, his outstanding arm, and because the position he plays, he could turn out, if he turns out to be something close to a Matt Ryan or a Joe Flacco, then he's worth the first pick of the draft. So that's
guaranteed money. How much?
Well, first pick
overall.
Of the draft, you're talking about guaranteed.
35?
I was going to say 30 to 35. Hey, what do you think it's
going to
be? They've
got to fix
that. What do you think it's going to be for the eighth pick of the draft? It was 17 a year ago. It's going to be between 15 and 20 again.
They've got to fix that. You know, in this next round, you know, of collective bargaining, I guess if that's what it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
they have got to fix the rookie pay.
Mm-hmm.
How can – I mean – I understand that you know there has to be a premium paid for a guy where he's selected higher. I mean, I was the beneficiary of that 14th pick of the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got paid more than obviously a second round pick, and dramatically more than a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking millions. I mean, we're not talking, you know, a couple hundred thousand anymore. We're talking millions. And you know, the crazy part is Gene Upshaw used to hate the idea of lowering the rookie numbers, and I never understood why.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the old days, the rookie salaries are what drove veteran salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rookies were getting paid more and more, and were pushing the wage scale
sure.
up.
No question.
That's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the rookies to drive salaries.
No, you don't.
For the rest of the roster.
Undrafted free agents, unrestricted free agents.
Unrestricted free.
It.
I mean, that's your salary drivers. And so I used to get so mad at Gene Upshaw saying that there's nothing wrong with the way that rookies are paid. Now, oh, absolutely there is. When you have, you know, 53 guys on a roster who are legitimate players who have earned a roster spot on merit.
Yeah, but his point is that in a year, Stafford will become a veteran, and his contract becomes a standard for all veterans.
If that's the case, then make the contracts to where they're 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and then they hit restricted free agency. And if they're that good, they'll get paid then.
Let me give you a problem that the Broncos have with Cutler. The problem is that they have now announced that they have to trade him. So right away they lose some of their take potential.
Yeah, I didn't understand why Pep Bolin did that.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the Jets with pick number 17. I'm thinking, you know.
But see, it probably wasn't a good thing, but this is not damaged goods that you're trying to peddle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it really impacts the ability or the value that you get for Jay Cutler, because he's available to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no buyer's beware with Jay Cutler that anybody can put their fingers on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have multiple parties interested in a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily think that Pat Bowlen's statement hurt. I don't think it helps, mm-hmm. I think would be my point.
Yeah, I would agree. But there's the Jets with pick 17. That's a good spot to be in this draft.
And you know Mike Tannenbaum. I mean, he paid Darrell Revis all that money. He paid.
Plus, they're desperate. They paid all this money to Alan Faneca and these people. They brought him in, and then they went out and got Favre, and they didn't get a playoff berth. If they don't take advantage of the guys they signed now, you know, I mean, they're gonna lose their window of opportunity. So,
well, and you've got a general manager there that hasn't exactly have a history of winning in Tannenbaum.
No,
I mean, wouldn't you think that he's under the gun a little bit?
The Jets have to be desperate. They have to be desperate for a quarterback, and here's one available to them. Where the Lions don't have to be desperate for a quarterback because they're sitting in a position where they can just draft one. So I think the Jets are in the most favorable position to make this deal, based on the pick they have available, where it fits. The Broncos, I think, have pick 14 already. So if they would pick up pick 17. Hey, those are two good spots to be in the draft, and they could do some.
You're
going to
get more than one draft pick, though.
Hmm?
You're going to get more than just a first
round
pick.
Yeah, they would get the Jets one and two, or maybe they're one this year and one next year.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would want that more. I would be more inclined to ask for their one this year and one next year. And if you got that, now you got 14 and 17, and you could take. You could do some packaging and do some trading and jockeying the position.
Do you think that's all it's going to take? A first? Would
this year and next year?
If you take a first round pick next year, it's what they say is that it's equal to a second round pick this year. Is that correct? I guess that's the values that they have assigned on that sheet that has been talked about.
I've never heard that, Jeff. I'm sorry,
but they say that value wise. A next year's first round pick is worth a second round pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to get it done for Jay Cutler, unless there's a player.
I think two ones
added on.
One this year and a one next year will do it. Hmm. I really do. I just don't. Yeah, I mean, given the fact that they are now in a position where they have to trade this guy, they're going to have their hands held to the fire. If all of a sudden teams started backing out, say if the Lions said, we'll just draft Stafford at one. And, you know, next thing you know, they could find themselves in a tough spot as the Falcons did with Matt Schaub. I mean, I thought the Texans got him real cheap.
Real cheap. How about the Redskins?
Like, what are you going to do with Jason Campbell?
Hey, you know, it's Dan Snyder. Does anything make sense with Dan Snyder?
I think Campbell's a player. Is he Jay Cutler? No.
But it's Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
You know, does anything?
What do they have to give? Do they have a full complement?
Probably not.
I don't know. I haven't looked at Dan Snyder.
You know, does Dan Snyder ever have a full complement of draft picks?
What a mess.
From one year to the next?
What a mess.
What a mess. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along. Did you give your weather gauge in the last segment? I heard you guys talking about
it. Yeah, I mean,
what'd you say today? What?
I said, what's a two? And then I got the answer. Give me that two again.
Yeah, Joe did a little research on the computer.
I want to thank Mike Cooper, our traffic guy, for pointing this out to me. You can go on WOKV.com and find out exactly what the weather meter means.
All right, explain it to
me. Tell me what a three is.
All right, a three is storm, windy, might even be cold. Okay?
Stronger. Three is not good.
Two, a mess, ugly, dark, wet, windy.
This is a two.
One is stay home.
Okay, what's Katrina?
That was my question during a break was, what is evacuate?
Well, we got a one, stay home.
So you're telling me Katrina's
zero
a one.
Would be evacuate then.
There's no zero, though.
There's no zero.
There's no zero?
Here comes
no
a dead zero. Guy. I'll give it a one.
No zero.
I mean, come on. I mean, that thing is ridiculous.
All right, well, let's get back to football. That's good about three times a year for a laugh. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
Except for the dead guy.
Yeah, I didn't mean to laugh about it. I wasn't laughing about that.
Laughing.
I was just laughing with
And he doesn't think it's a one.
No. Keith is in Arlington. Hello, Keith. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Okay, this may be ludicrous, but what about trading Garrard in the number one pick for Cutler?
Well, I mean, how do you know Denver's going to make that deal? I mean, you know, you can throw these.
No, I mean, I'm just thinking,
So you're going to trade the Jaguars' first-round draft choice and David Garrard for Jay Cutler?
Well, I mean, most of the draft mock drafts have us picking Sanchez, so they're probably going to pick a quarterback anyway, and you've got a proven commodity who's not damaged goods.
Yeah, but if you took Sanchez, you have David Garrard and Mark Sanchez. I mean, you're talking about giving the Broncos David Garrard and Mark Sanchez for Jay Cutler. Hey, that's a lot of talent for getting a lot back, but you know, two premier quarterbacks for one premier doesn't wash.
Well, here's the thing: how do you know what it's going to cost?
Well, I know what Cutler's salary is.
No, I'm talking about what it's going to cost in trade to get a Jay Cutler. You don't know, but one thing is for certain: mm-hmm. when you have five or six interested parties, the price will get large.
My thing is this. Some website has announced that the Jaguars are one of the teams involved, and right immediately.
It was Yahoo. Yeah.
Okay, immediately, you know, it's as though this whole thing, that it's like the world's focus is on the Jaguars' interest in Jay Cutler. Man, forget about it. I mean, the Jaguars don't have enough to give. I mean, this is the Lions, this is the Jets, this is the teams that have a desperate need of quarterback and have what it takes to get this deal done in terms of picks and desperation. What's the Jaguars' desperation? Jay Cutler's going to change? He's going to change anything here?
No. No, they've got nine picks. And Gene said that what they wanted to do, and we've talked about it on this show, they want to acquire picks. What number do you think they have in mind? What would be an ideal number of draft picks that they'd like to have by the end of the day?
20 would be nice.
They could use it.
I mean, as many as you can.
I know. Well, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is what's reasonable to expect. Well, they've got nine. They've got the two compensatory.
11.
They got the one.
11.
11.
I'm throwing that figure out. Here's why. The Titans, after they came out of, when they were just going into cap hell, they had to gut their roster and they knew that they had to rebuild, they traded back.
Multiple. I got a lot of
second round picks. Multiple
times.
Drafted Travis LeBoy. You know, they did many picks. And they accumulated 11 draft picks by trading back. I'm just using that as a standard because you know what? It worked for them.
Okay. Which means they just need a couple more.
Yeah.
I mean, you know they're looking for more.
But the problem is you got those. They own the seventh round, which is like the compensatory picks in the seventh round is like a head start on undrafted free agency. So I really don't think those picks are that hot. I would have preferred to see them get a five instead of two sevens.
All right, so they maybe need four more picks then.
I would like to see them get another first day pick. If they could somehow, this eighth pick of the draft is going to have some worth to it. We kind of went through it while you were out. What if Denver trades Cutler and now needs to get into position to draft a quarterback and guy like Sanchez, let's say they like him, is now available at pick eight. You're holding the cards. Now you can attract them. This is the trade that I would prefer. Instead of start throwing David Garrard all over the place and draft picks all over the place, let's just wait. Maybe you can trade the pick and get two picks. Denver has the 14th pick of the draft, I believe. Maybe you could get 14 and their two or 14 and their three.
By creating that desperation in them.
Yeah.
Letting the Broncos move up, if that's the case.
And by letting the draft board play out, letting the top seven picks before you play out and see where it goes to.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting on the clock there, and Sanchez is there, and Stafford is gone. You don't have Cutler. You can't get Castle. All of a sudden, now you can put the
right now.
But if he's that good.
Who?
Sanchez.
If he's he might be.
And if he's that good.
Pick him. Pick him. David isn't 25. You must remember that in
young
a few years, you're going to be looking, you know,
for
to replace him. You're going to be looking for at least his eventual replacement. If I was, right now, if you said to me, on this day, April Fool's Day, who's the the Jaguars pick at number eight, I would say Sanchez or Wells.
Beanie Wells, the running back from Ohio State. Yeah. All right. 355 NFL 1. Grab a couple more calls here. Dave is in St. Augustine. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I had a question regarding Ricky Pay. I heard Jeff Loggeman talking about it as if he's jealous, but anyway.
Of course I'm jealous.
It's a market. This is capitalism. If the guy doesn't, I mean, it's owner's problem for paying that amount.
No, I know, Dave, but it's not a market. It's a fixed market.
In other words, you're pro-regulation.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
what I'm saying is that it's a set market because the union determines how much of that salary cap is going to be dedicated to the rookies. It's the union that can control and influence the amount of money that is paid to the rookies.
I think something should be done too. A year ago, I didn't believe that. I have changed my mind.
What's
the other players? You are arguing for the other players that aren't making that much, the guys that have been playing a while, which they probably deserve.
That's my point.
They're part of that union. Why don't they go to the union and say, hey, enough is enough. Where's my jack?
They have.
Yeah, Kevin Mawai
they have.
Came right out and popped off late last summer.
Kevin Mawai.
He's the president of the union.
Went against
the president.
You know, Gene Upshaw and said, I am in favor of somehow controlling rookie salaries.
John Lynch said
and allowing more money to go to the veteran players. And, hey, look, we're not trying. I mean, I still believe, and I think every veteran player in the league will tell you, that having some control on the rookies is a good thing. Now, totally saying, hey, this is what you're going to make, and it's all a fixed number, you can't do that. You can say instead of 10%, you know, drop it down to 5 or 6% and have certain rules set in about signing bonus size in relation to the total percentage of the contract. But if they allow more money to go to veteran players, in my mind, that gets the money to where it needs to be. That's the proven commodity.
The reason I was against it a year ago is because in the very beginning, the owners had a choice between hard cap and soft cap.
I remember
the owners and the players would have accepted a hard cap going all the way back to 93, and the owners chose soft cap. So, hey, You made the wrong pick, suffer the consequences. Well, now going forward, the cap is going bye-bye. It's going away. So since it's going away, I would be in favor of some kind of regulation that would keep these rookie salaries in line.
You know, and
well, there already is regulation. I'm just saying.
No, there's not.
Well, there is.
The rookie pool you're talking about?
There is a rookie pool.
They've completely
But, I mean, there's so many
it,
loopholes. I mean, the loopholes have gone out of
right.
control.
Forget
Close
about
it. Close the loopholes so that this is not a problem, and the players that deserve it get it.
It's not going to be closed, Jeff, because the cap is going away. There's not going to be any more reconstruction or repair work on the cap. It's just going to go away.
Okay. And just as an example, and it's a real-world example, last year they gave $17 million in guaranteed money to their first-round draft choice, Derek Harvey. And you've got Maurice Drew, who produces 10 touchdowns and
1,700. That's a problem that I have
and,
with.
And that's it. See,
that's right.
That's where it really comes down to, is the money going to those top 10 picks in particular sucks it away. And we talked about Jerry Porter and Drayton Florence and some of these other guys getting paid and how it affected Maurice and Mike Peterson.
Oh, that's just a shame on the club for giving money to those guys.
Well, but I mean, Derek Harvey also. I mean, you know, right. Maurice Drew comes in and sees Derek Harvey with $17 million. I don't know what he thinks because I've never asked him the question, but in my mind, as a veteran player and a guy who's produced, I'd have a problem with
it. Here's the real problem. If you don't do something to regulate these rookie salaries at the top, the top 10 picks are going to become unwanted.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're going to take the order of the draft and turn it upside down.
Well, they already are becoming.
They already are.
You remember the value board we've talked about with the draft, and the top numbers have diminished. They've readjusted it. Don't you think salaries paid out in those top spots have had some influence in dropping the value? Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We'll return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from WOKV Jaguar Central, only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Rolling right along, about 7 minutes left in the show. You can join us, 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars This Week from WOKV Jaguar Central. Inside the stadium, we grab a couple more phone calls. Wes is across the river in Orange Park. Hello, Wes. You're on the show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Always enjoying the show. Guys, I actually got three different questions. I don't think it'll take long. If y'all can just leave me on with you till the third question gets asked. The first one I got is Chris Naoli, and I think the guy's name's Charles Spencer. He was a former second-round pick. I know Vic said that the Jags like him a lot coming out of the draft.
Almost took him instead of Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, well, how are they looking physically? You think they'll help the team this year?
Well,
I always like Naoli.
Naoli's not with the Jaguars.
Okay.
Charles Spencer, that was just a shot in the dark when they picked him up, that maybe, you know, the leg would miraculously heal while they had him. I think it's a long shot. I wouldn't put any stock in that. He sustained a total blowout of that leg, that knee and everything.
I know that the encouragement from what they saw last year, or should I say what they saw last year, did not give them a lot of encouragement.
Right.
But there's still hope.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
Charlie Shelf.
Second question I had was George Reister. Are we still trying to shop him, or what are we trying to get for him?
That's what I heard. I heard that they were agreeable to shopping him around, see if somebody was interested in trading for him. There's nothing to report on yet. That's just what I had heard. That as you heard that they he was a guy that they would take a draft pick for.
Yeah, but you're not going to get a first day draft pick.
For George Reister. Maybe a sixth round pick. Right. You know, if you're lucky.
And last question, guys, and y'all let me go at this, and I appreciate you taking my questions. If Macklin and Raji and Crabtree all happen to be sitting there, probably won't, but if they are, which one of those guys do you think they should take? And I appreciate you guys taking my call. Thank you.
Got it.
I'll tell you which one they would take.
I heard Crabtree and I heard Macklin. I didn't get the other name.
And Raji, B.J. Raji.
B.J. Raji, okay.
It wouldn't be Raji. It would come down to Crabtree or Macklin, and you're saying if they had to take one of those three, is
if
that
they're
what
all three available in the Jaguars?
Well, I mean, is there anyone else available?
No, or just those three.
It would be Crabtree.
Has he run?
He's not going to run.
He had surgery.
Here's the problem with Crabtree. On the day you draft him, which means that you are going to give him between $15 and $20 million, on the day that you decide that you're going to give him between $15 and $20 million, he can't run.
Well, then that's a good reason to take Macklin if you have to have one of those.
Yeah,
because Crabtree had surgery.
He had a screw put in his foot.
Has he had it yet, or is he about to?
He's already had it.
He's already.
Yeah, I think he had it early.
No.
He already had it.
I mean, I think he went ahead and attacked this early because he knew that this question was coming up, whether he'd be ready for training camp.
He said he didn't need it at first; that he was fine. Then all of a sudden, bang!
But he sat for a while, Brian, without. Having had the surgery, so I didn't know when.
Right.
Find out if you would.
Yeah, I'm looking right
when
now.
When he's had it or if he has had
it. I just know that the NFL Network has shown him in a wheelchair with a cast.
Okay, so and he had it. He would be higher, I believe he would be higher rated on their board than Macklin.
It's kind of scary, though.
Darn right it's scary. That's why they wouldn't pick him.
I mean, that kind of...
Maybe they would, but I can't imagine...
But he doesn't.
On the day that I'm going to give a guy $15 to $20 million, he can't run for me. Ooh, ouch!
What kind of speed?
Is he
an elite speed guy?
No one ever had a time on him because he was coming out early. He didn't participate in the junior days.
So he's not an elite speed guy.
He's not. He's okay. He may be a 4.6 guy.
His measurables, height, weight,
outstanding,
are just kind of okay now.
No. He's a big, strong guy.
Yeah, but he's not like 6'3".
Well, he's not like Matt Jones.
No, I mean obviously not. But I'm saying he's not a guy that when you look at the size of him, he's not Terrell Owens. He's not like a Randy Moss.
He's got some Michael Irvin. There's some Michael Irvin there.
I thought he was like 6 foot.
I'm thinking more 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's 6'2". He's 6'2", 235, I think, is what he played at.
That's pretty good, then.
He big guy. You'll pass the eye test, Jeff. You won't pass the speed test.
But now, do you want a top 10 pick that doesn't pass the speed test?
I don't.
Is Macklin fast?
Beanie Wells is a 4.3 guy. 4.39.
Macklin was blazing fast in the Big 12, but he didn't run very well.
No. He didn't show well in a combine. A little stiff in the hips. You know, they didn't have a great combine.
Stiff in the hips.
I'm still looking to see.
I love that.
When he had that surgery.
Well, you know, he's not all that athletic. Well, what's another way? How can we say that? He's a little stiff in the hips.
There's lots of things, you know. The old ones.
Give me some.
Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Another, what else you got? Stiff in the hips. Looks like Tarzan.
Doesn't look good in the shower. Hey, it's me. Here I am. Draft me. I don't look good in the shower.
I don't want to see you in the shower, Vic.
No.
All I can find is that on March 1, he said he would have the surgery and forego his workout at Texas Tech's Pro Day, which was last week.
Jeff saw him in a wheelchair.
Okay, so he's had the surgery.
He's doing some type. You know, the NFL Network has certain players that they kind of have the cameras follow them around, you know, before the draft, mm-hmm. the workouts, then the draft, and then in the camps and all that. He was one of the guys, and they were showing him in a wheelchair with a cast.
Sanchez or Wells right now.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Have a great night, everybody. Stay dry.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.